Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Give me some of that Mad Dog and let's get at it. That's Terry Ford, BaltimoreSportsPub.com. Terry, how are you?
Hey, baby. What are you doing, baby?
My lady love.
Hey, turn the lights down, baby.
We've been talking about worst sports injuries we've seen, whether that was in person, maybe playing sports, or thinking of some of the things we've seen in actual professional and collegiate games. And you can imagine we've had a whole list of things. The Joe Theismann thing always stands out. What else stands out to you that you can recall where you went, oh, my God, show the replay. Well, no, don't show it again. Show it again. Don't show it.
The Theismann one, like, they showed 90 angles. Let's see that from the blimp. I mean, it was disgusting. Yeah. The Joe Theismann, obviously the Kevin Ware at Louisville. Robin Ventura when his foot turned sideways three different ways at home plate. I'm sure I'm missing some of the good gruesome ones. I mean, Napoleon McCallum with the Raiders was disgusting.
A ton of leg injuries. Livingston, Gordon Hayward, Paul George.
Oh, God. Livingston, Hayward. How about the one with Paul George was disgusting. How about the one, the wide receiver for the Eagles? I don't know if he was playing for the Bears at the time or not, and he tore both his ACLs at the same time and just fell on the turf.
Ugh.
Yeah,
I remember.
I saw one in person, gruesome.
Okay.
And I was playing pickup ball. Jesus, years ago when I had hair. I was living in Central PA, and we're playing pickup, and you know how game point is.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Well, so it's one of those 10-10, 10-9 games, and it's not win by two. It's just, first two hoop to 11. So this dude breaks. He breaks away, right? And guy gets a rebound on our team and throws in the outlet. He catches the outlet. Another guy's chasing him because you're not letting some dude cherry pick the layup on game point, right? Right, Con?
Absolutely not.
No. So this cat goes up. Guy obviously hammers him. Problem was the dude's foot didn't leave the floor, and his leg went in like 10 different ways. Mm. And so he hits the ground, and the bone's sticking out of his leg.
Ugh.
And he didn't even know it yet. He's just down, like, holding the top of his leg, and he's, like, got his eyes closed. And so everybody's, like, just no one's saying anything because it's like you're in shock. And the guy didn't even know the dude who did it went, oh, bleep, man, the bone's sticking out of your bleeping leg. Oh, bleeping, bleep. I just went nuts. So then the guy looked down and just freaked out. And we're like, way to go, dude. Way to go. And, of course, back then there was no 911 on your cell phone.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was pretty ugly. Seeing a bone stick out of some dude's leg is not cool. But that's the worst one I ever saw in person. Yeah, that wasn't good.
I was talking about the one that I was playing. I may have been working with you on the morning show, and I was playing indoor flag football. And it was full contact, 7-on-7, and a guy like we had a 10 o'clock game, which I was already pissed off about because I'm like, man, I'm not going to get home until like 11:30, and then I got to get back up in like 4.5 hours, and then a guy got knocked into the wall, and the way he fell, he had a compound fracture with the bone poking out of his leg. So then it pushed our game back. To like, we got done around midnight or close to it. And then as I was driving home, my tire exploded on 695 in Dundalk. And luckily this guy pulled over to help me, but he's like, give me that tire iron, boy. And I'm like, oh, God. Next thing I was thinking, it places the lotion on its skin or else it gets the hose again. It does whatever it's told. I'm like, where am I going to end up? He couldn't have been a nicer guy, but I'm thinking the worst that night. So
squeal like a pig, boy. The other one, I mean, I saw one. I was playing slow pitch softball in this league, and I don't know if you ever played when they had the DeMarini bats.
Oh yeah,
they got outlawed.
They were loaded.
Yeah, even Terry Ford could crush one with a DeMarini bat. Well, we had the late game, and for some reason, and you know, you didn't want to pitch in these leagues. We had the DeMarini bats, we had the red dot softballs. Every game was 70 to 68. It was crazy. Well, some dude's pitching, and some cat hits a liner right back at him, and he caught it with his face.
Oh.
And there was like, I found his nose in the parking lot. I think that's an eyeball. Over there. That's his tongue. I mean, his face just got, there was no face left. It was, God. And I walk up, I go, dude, you know you delayed our game.
Yeah.
I got to work tomorrow. What the hell's wrong with you?
Well, and that's what I was saying about that, too. Like, you watch the softball guys that were wearing masks when they're pitching, and we'd always be like, oh, come on, dude, until you see that line drive come up the middle. You're like, can I get a barrier in front of me or anything to hide behind? That's terrible, man.
That's why Terry loved the grass of the outfield.
Hey, well, Terry, just to switch gears here a little bit, because I did want to talk some baseball and football with you.
Mm-hmm.
Now that Major League Baseball is back, your take on how everything's going, a 60-game season, some of the new rule enforcements, where do you stand?
Well, I mean, look, this is baseball's version of we got to make some money. I mean, that's what professional sports is doing, right? Like baseball, basketball, hockey, we've got to salvage something. Football's not there yet, but, you know, we'll see. We'll see when the fall shows up. Baseball, again, the thing that gets me about it, Jeremy, is, okay, MLB offered, what was that, 60, 70 games or 65 games? They offered 60.
They offered 60, and then the players wanted 70.
Right, and they wanted 70. Hoping to get, what, 65, mm-hmm. 64, 66? Or was it just to say you won? I mean, they offer 60, you want 70. You know, usually the negotiation, like if you tell me, Tara, I'll give you $60 for, you know, for those shoes. Oh, give me 70. I want 65, right? You know the way it works?
Yeah.
So what was the purpose of five more games? Just to say you won the negotiation? I've never seen two sides come off more greedy and tone deaf. It just the whole thing was so ridiculous. Basically, you wasted all this time for nothing. Right? I mean, that's what you did. You wasted the time where you could have been the sport in the national spotlight, and instead you guys were petty and ridiculous, and you got nothing achieved. And all you were doing, you didn't care about what was going on now, trying to get on the field in a difficult year that really has a big asterisk next to it anyway, right?
Yeah.
All you're doing is setting up your big collective bargaining fight coming up in 2021. That's all this was. This was setting the ground for that next year, which is stupid. Just concentrate on now and try to do something for what is a crazy season, and don't draw your battle lines for next year, because, again, you just look stupid. But baseball just – you know what I've realized? They don't care about looking stupid. They only care about their fight and the fight for the money and the fight to be who's going to get over on someone else. They don't care. They don't care what they look like. You know what I mean? They don't care. It's like that couple that's fighting in the party, and everybody's just watching, and they're saying all this embarrassing stuff, and no one cares. That's like baseball. They don't care what you think or I think or the fans think or anyone thinks. They just care about getting theirs, and that's really what it comes down to. It's just sad. Well, the one rule I don't like is putting a runner on base in extra innings. Well, that's asinine. That changes the game.
Yeah, so it won't be an earned run for the pitcher if they give one up. And I guess the thought process is, depending on where you are in the lineup, the first batter should get intentionally walked unless you're in the top. If you're batting in the top of the inning, maybe you're not doing that, because one run doesn't mean the game's over. You're going to have a chance to tie it up. But if you're in the bottom portion, I'm walking the first batter that comes up to try to get the double play. I mean, that just seems like it's smart.
It's stupid. Look, I get when you tinker and tweak with stuff, and that's fine. Okay, we're going to move back the extra point of football. Okay. But when you actually tinker with the game itself, you follow what I mean?
Yeah.
When you're artificially putting runners on base just to end the game quicker, to me, that's just – it's stupid. And you don't tinker with any sports game. It's like, all right, let's put the rim up at 12 feet in the NBA because too many guys can dunk. No. You know, there are certain parts of the game that are the game. And when you start screwing with that stuff for some artificial BS reason, to me, that's when you go too far. You know, I mean, if you want to put a pitch clock in, okay, whatever. You know, no one ever hits the pitch clock anyway, right? I mean,
yeah.
But when you start putting runners on base to start innings like you're the Essex Little League and you want to get everybody home for dinner, that's when you look like a bunch of idiots.
Well, speaking of that, so I don't know if I ever told you this story. There was one time my son was playing Little League over here in Perry Hall, and we had this this old umpire, and the kid that was throwing, that was pitching, had bounced the ball in front of home plate, and it bounced. You know, as soon as the ball hits the ground, it's a ball. It's dead. So you're not gonna. We're not playing cricket here, Terry. And then it happened a couple times, and he kept calling strikes. And I said something to the guy, and I'm like, dude. He goes, it's my strike zone. I said, it can be your strike zone, but as soon as it hits in front of the plate, it's a ball. Like, you can have whatever strike zone you want, but if it does not go over the plate in the air, it's a ball. And he goes, he just kept saying, it's my strike zone. I said, well, just hurry up and get the game over with. I know there's a beer waiting for you for the batter's box over there.
Obviously, Gramps was having some kind of bowel issues. He had to get moving.
He did it like five or six times. I'm like, dude, come on, man. Like, seriously?
Have you ever umpired a game in your life?
Yeah, I have.
I did one time. I'll never do it again. Unless they give me $1 million, I'll never do it again. It was like a buddy of mine, again, it was a softball league, and it was a fast pitch, like a girls league or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like 13, 14, whatever it was. And my buddy coached in the league. I think he was dating some of the girls. So that's beside the point. But my buddy was coaching in the league. He said, hey, man, we need an umpire. Can you help me out? And I'd known the guy for a while. I said, sure, dude, I'll do it for you. I went out there. His team's getting crushed here. I mean, it's like 9-0 in the first inning, right? And there's like two outs, and there's a play at third, and his girls are still in the field, and this girl slides under the tag at third base, and I call her safe. And my buddy, who I've known for years, comes out and starts cussing me, yelling at me. His team's down 9-0. They suck, by the way. They're awful. He's screaming at me. You're down 9-0. I called the girl safe at third because the tag was by her face, and both of her feet were on the bag. And he's yelling at me. He's cussing at me. And I'm like, what the hell? What are you doing?
Yeah.
He's like, you're wrong. I go, no. First of all, I'm right. And two, your breath smells like, you know, feet. Get the hell away from me. And three, because he offered me a case of beer to do it, because back then I was in my 20s and I'd do anything for beer.
Yeah.
And I was like, dude, keep your beer. I'm leaving. And I left. Well, I left.
I don't have a problem. Like, you know, look, refereeing. So when I first got into radio, the basketball league I played in was in Eastwood. And all the guys I met over there. And then I played in an elementary school called Berkshire, and that was a 3-on-3 league where I remember playing one guy. And look, I was in my heyday and I was pretty good. I remember playing one guy that's like, dude, you're not going to score on me. And I'm like, so he would literally just grab me and call foul every time I touched the ball. So the only way I was scoring was on fast breaks, which there weren't many because the gym was so small. And it was crazy. But in the Eastwood League, you would be assigned the game before or after your game to referee. So two players from your team would have to volunteer. And nobody ever wanted to do it. I hated it. And I was sure that guys held grudges against me the next time I played, where I'm like, dude, you heard the guy smack me in the face. You're like, nah, didn't see it. May have heard it, didn't see it. I'm like, get the hell out of here. But, you know, it's not easy.
Officiating and umpiring is the worst. I just, no, yeah. Never.
Too many judgment calls. Well, let me ask you a football question here. So, I still think – the big if is if he's healthy, but I still think Cam Newton is a good football player. And the Patriots kicking the tires on him and bringing him in. What do you make of that situation? And do you think he ends up being the starter there? I do.
Well, it's a no-lose for everybody, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, first of all, for Cam Newton, he's going to get – I mean, look, if you can't beat out Jared Stidham, it's time to maybe, you know, go do something else with your life. I mean, let's just be honest. If Cam Newton's healthy, it's great for the Patriots. Because, look, what people forget is this. 2 years ago, Norv Turner was the offensive coordinator in Carolina. And for the first half of the season, Cam Newton was having the best year of his career. You don't believe me, you can look up the first, what was it, 8 games of the season. His completion percentage was like around 65%. He was efficient. His quarterback rating was really good. I mean, and they were running an offense where he wasn't just chucking it deep. He was getting the ball to Christian McCaffrey. They were doing things that Cam Newton had really picked up on the offense that Norv Turner wanted to run, and Newton was playing some of the best football since his MVP year. And then the shoulder went. And once he got the shoulder rehab, and people say, you know, before last year, his shoulder was fine. Then he had the Liz Frank injury. And now there are people saying his foot's fine. So, Jeremy, I'm with you. If his foot is fine and his shoulder's fine, and he doesn't have to be the Cam Newton of 2015, but if he is still Cam Newton who can throw and move some, then the Patriots, you know, they fell into something. Because Newton's got something to prove, right? He wants to play to be a starter, whether it's in New England moving forward or somewhere else. So Cam Newton's going to show up ready to roll and locked in. The Patriots need a starting quarterback. If Newton just puts up solid to good numbers, that's going to help the Patriots be a factor in chasing another playoff spot. To me, it's $1 million, right? That's it. That's all that's guaranteed, plus the incentives. So if Newton isn't healthy and if Newton is washed up, it's only $1 million. But if he can play to not the 2015 level, but just how about the level he was playing in 2018 before his shoulder fell off?
Yeah, those first eight games, he was phenomenal.
You know, people seem to forget that, Jeremy. Mm-hmm. I keep thinking back to those eight games. I remember watching it, and he was really good. You know? I mean, he was really good. He had picked up on that North Turner offense. He could still move around when he needed to. I'm telling you, if he's healthy, I'm with you. I think the Patriots, once again being the Patriots, have stumbled into something if Newton's healthy and can play. Because Josh McDaniel, if he's half the genius he tells us he is, he can put an offense together for Cam Newton, sort of like maybe what Norv Turner did. Plus, if he can still run and move, Patriots, they got themselves something. I'm with you, man. I think if you close the book on Cam Newton and say he's washed up, I think you're a little quick there.
The only way, I mean, look, if the injuries become a problem, then yes, I don't know that that's necessarily the case now that he's had all this time off. If he's healed up, I think he's a problem for the league, and the Patriots just got another, like, I mean, they lose a third round draft pick for the second Spygate. I mean, these jackasses, man. It's just like they keep cheating and cheating and cheating. And the Patriots fans are like, no, we don't. That's BS. The balls weren't this one. It's like you guys keep losing draft picks because you're cheating.
You know what?
You don't need to.
What are they going to say? Oh, you got us. God, you got us again. Yeah, we're cheating. Of course, they're always going to deny it, right? They're always going to deny what they're doing. But you know what's hit me about that? In all honesty, and I thought about this when the Patriots got caught again. I think about the Astros, and I think about the Patriots. Here are these two organizations that are really good, right? They do all these. They always try to be ahead of the curve, one step ahead, but they also push the envelope. Like, if you ever read the book Astro Ball, that's what the Astros were. They're an organization that in every facet pushed the envelope all the time. And that's what the Patriots did. I mean, and if they get caught, they go, okay, you caught us, you're going to find us, you're going to take a draft pick, you want to see our six trophies? You know, they just, you know, the ends justify the means, they don't care, because they know no matter what the punishment is going to be from the league, they got six trophies, right? So they know, take a draft pick, you want $1 million? Robert Kraft's got that, you know, sitting around in his glove compartment in front of the massage parlor. So they don't care. They'll keep pushing the envelope. They'll get caught doing something. They'll move on to something else just because that's what these guys do. Does that make sense to you? They're always looking for that edge, always looking for that loophole, just like any business. Like, you hear about these big businesses who get caught doing stuff. Okay, they get caught. They get fined. They made $1 bazillion, right? So they laugh at you. And that's the Patriots. They're just like, well, okay, you got us this time. We'll go find something else to do. Because I think every team tries to push the envelope to a point. But I think the Patriots are just really arrogant about doing it because they think they're smarter than everybody. But now, they get caught again. In a couple years, they'll get caught doing something else.
Hey, switching gears, one last thing before I let you run. The NBA season, who do you like to win it all once we get this thing going, barring any types of setbacks from the coronavirus?
Wizards.
Oh, good pull, Wizards. Yeah. No Davis Bertans?
You know what? I tell you, I mean, going into the year, I liked the Clippers. Mm-hmm. I liked them because they could score. They were really good defensively. They had a bunch of guys that could guard multiple positions. They had a go-to dude at the end of the game in Kawhi Leonard, a coach that's won it before in Doc Rivers. You know, I like the Clippers, and they're crazy deep. So I still like the Clippers. I do, because I still think all those pieces are there. The Lakers have, two stars.
Yeah.
Two game-changing stars. Losing Avery Bradley hurts you defensively. And, bringing in J.R. Smith helped you.
Well,
how?
Yeah, I know. What? Well, dude, I just saw something that I didn't realize, and it brings up one of my favorite quotes. Deion Waiters is on the Lakers, and I forget who said it. Somebody said, "I want to be good, as good at anything as Deion Waiters thinks he is at basketball." I just want to be – I mean, he thinks he's the best basketball player in the world. I want to be good at anything as much as he thinks he's good at basketball.
Deion Waiters, they couldn't wait to run him out of Miami. Riley, he has no time for that kind of foolishness. He ran Hassan Whiteside out. He ran out Deion Waiters.
You remember the last story with Waiters is when he took the edibles on the plane, and they were like, they thought he was dying.
I know. They found out what he was doing. And by the way, before I forget, everybody will say, what about the Bucks, right?
Yeah.
Because here's my thing. I mean, I think Giannis is ridiculous. He really is. I mean, he's a fabulous player, both ends of the court. The Bucks are deep. But here's the problem, and you know this, dude. You've watched enough NBA. In the playoffs, teams are going to do what they did last year. They're going to take away Giannis.
Same thing they do to Harden. It's like you're going to make Giannis into – you're going to double-team Harden. You're going to make Giannis into a jump shooter. That means the others need to step up.
So who is the Scottie Pippen of the Milwaukee Bucks? Who's the Anthony Davis of the Milwaukee Bucks? Who's the next guy? Who's the Paul George of the Milwaukee Bucks? Chris Middleton's a good player. But, again, bro, you know this. You watch enough ball and you play enough ball. There's a difference between being good – and being level one. Chris Middleton, to me, is not level one. He's a good player, but is he going to be the guy to step up and make buckets when everybody's taking away Giannis? Is he going to be that guy? He's got to prove it to me, right? He's got to prove that to me. So until somebody in Milwaukee proves that they can be the guy to make buckets when the other teams are taking away Giannis, I can't say the Bucks are going to win. And I love Coach Bud. I love Budenholzer. Yeah. In Milwaukee. I love everything they're doing. I'd root for them to win the title. Don't get me wrong. But if you're asking me to, like, you know, be objective, I can't pick them until someone else shows me they're going to step up and be the man. And I just don't know who that someone's going to be in Milwaukee when teams take away Giannis. I mean, can you pick somebody for me? Can you help me?
No. I think you're right. Like, I like Middleton a lot, but he's a jump shooter, you know, and they just need to knock down shots.
Right. He's not that guy.
Well, Terry Ford, Baltimore.
By the way, who are you taking?
The Clippers. I like the Clippers. I'd love to see the Rockets win it. I mean, I'm a Mavs fan, but I still think they're a year away. I'd like to see the Rockets win it all, I think.
But by the way, I love the Mavs too, because I love Doncic. I think he's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. But can they cross half court and play defense just maybe half the time?
Time. That's an issue. So, hey, Terry, appreciate it.
They play the Jeremy Kahn defense.
That's fine. And nowadays, that's definitely it. Let me know when I get the ball back.
What did you tell me back in the day? I don't need to play D when I'm scoring 50 a game. Wasn't that the
one? I haven't even close to it, but who cares? Anyway, Terry Ford, BaltimoreSportsPub.com. As always, bud, I appreciate it, man, and I'll be talking to you, all right?
All right, brother, we'll talk. See you, man. All right.
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.